About 30 years ago, a commercial came out that was a mechanic saying, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. And his emphasis was on maintaining and watching out to make sure that small problems don't become big ones. I think that also applies to our eternal soul. The scriptures are very clear. God is not mocked. We will all reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit we will reap eternal life. So our soul is much like the way that we maintain our car. And so I wanted to start talking a little bit about how the car functions, and we'll talk quite a bit about our soul and our spirit and the scriptures that deal with how we need to maintain that as well. And so I'm just going to throw these up real quickly because I don't really want to spend too much time on it. I think they're pretty obvious. But we need oil to lubricate the engine. We need fuel for the power. We need a battery. We need electricity. We need a radiator and antifreeze. We need tires and brakes. Sometimes we want lubrication. Sometimes we want power. Sometimes we want cooling, and other times we want traction. And each realm, you don't want oil in your brakes, but you don't want what the brakes are made of in your engine. And so there is a complicated working of several systems together in every car. And of course, each one of them is necessary for the car to function. Now, as I'm going through this, I want you to be thinking about, what in the world does this have to do with my eternal soul? What in the world does this have to do with how I maintain and keep my soul? Well, the scriptures are pretty clear that our heart needs lubrication. There are a lot of problems in the world today that can just turn us into anxious and frustrated and bitter people. And so there's lubricants that the scriptures or that that God has given to us, but we have to know how to use them. The fuel is, of course, the scriptures. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, energizing those of us who believe. And so the cooling, the traction, the friction, and somebody had to figure this all out. For us to have a car, for that car to run, for year after year, mile after mile, somebody had to think all these things through. Somebody had to come up with the way to do all of these things. And so we can praise and we can thank God that we have been able to take dominion over all of these things. But it's illustrative, the power that we have over the material creation through the instruments that God has left us to be able to do these things is the same power we have over our spirits and our souls and our emotions that are given us through the scriptures. And so God created the physics and the chemistry so that we could have cars and trains and boats and planes and all sorts of things. And they all work. Now, everything that we have just described brings dominion, but only in the material realm. And it all perishes in the using, so in a sense it really doesn't make that much difference. But it certainly makes our life easier when we get up every morning and the car starts and it gets us to work and we don't run out of gas and we don't burn up the engine and the battery doesn't work. And there's all kinds of things that can go wrong. And so we are aware, and if we're intelligent, we follow the monthly and annual maintenance schedule for the car. Well, there are areas of our heart that need lubrication. When you're angry and you have a lot of traction and a lot of friction, you need something to slow things down before angry words break the brightest links of life. Sometimes when we're discouraged, we are frustrated, we are disappointed, we need power. We need something to rejuvenate and generate and get us back on track. Sometimes in the heat of the battle, we need to be cooled down. And sometimes we need more traction, more zeal, more friction, more ability to gain what we need, to fight the good fight, to press on toward the goal, to climb the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so just as the material creation supplies us with what is necessary for the material things that we work with, the scriptures supply them for the material. And so let me just put that up there real quickly. So friction and traction and lubrication. And again, I don't think we need to talk anymore about this. We know the parable. So let's talk about the spiritual realm. Friction, zeal, conviction, diligence, commitment, contending earnestly, fighting the good fight, holding fast to the truth. We don't want to be pushed. We don't want to slip. We don't want to slide. We want to be fixed. My heart is fixed, O God. I am going, come what may, I will stand, and I will not have my feet knocked out from under me, and I will not slip. Lubrication, on the other hand, would be compassion and mercy and love and pity and sympathy, patience, endurance, forgiveness. Sometimes we need these qualities. We need them in our families. We need them in our congregations. We need them in our nation. What Charles was talking about in his prayer, the terrible violence that's going on right now. We need some lubrication. We need people to be able to work with each other. We need to lower the level of frustration and stress and bitterness. And people are on edge. You just touch them and they're ready to blow up. They need this lubrication. Unfortunately, brethren, this is the world we live in, and so we too are having to deal with some of these things. Road rage is just reaching a level. And I know we talk about that a lot, but it's such a perfect way to illustrate how on edge and frustrated people actually are. We need more compassion and understanding, the ability to try to understand why people are doing the things that they're doing so that we don't gain this friction where we need lubrication. And so when sin entered the world, we've got problems. We don't want lubrication. We don't want compromise. We don't want people who won't take a stand. They're going to slide and slip, and they're going to get along without ever taking a stand. They'll never be persecuted. But that's not what these lubricants are for. When we need friction, we need it. When we need lubrication, we need it. As a Christian, we have to be able to figure this out. We have to be able to figure out, now, do I need to take a strong stand here, even though the sparks are going to fly? Or is this a situation where I need to turn the other cheek and go the second mile and try to create a situation where we don't have that strife or we don't have that battle? And it depends on the circumstances. When Jesus stood before the Pharisees, there was no compromise. There couldn't be any lubrication put into that. There had to be standing, and friction was going to come as a result of that. And the Pharisees became very angry with Jesus because he wouldn't let things slide. He wouldn't allow the lubrication of compromise to keep things going. But he couldn't. And so we have to know our own soul. We have to know when it's time to take a stand and when it's time to fall back. When it's time to show compassion and mercy, and when it's time to tell people, this is going to cost you your soul. And there's nothing I can do to soften this blow. That's just the way that it is. And so there are things in the heart that need lubrication. If you have a sense of bitterness or anger, or if you're impatient and frustrated, you have this cynical view that things are never going to be any different, never going to be any better, no matter what happens, we become indifferent, we don't trust people anymore, we always have a bad attitude, this is not going to work out, or we just give up, I don't care about anything anymore, or we become calloused or insensitive. These are problems. These are good emotions gone in the wrong direction. The friction and the traction that would lead to zeal and diligence and a desire to better ourselves has become something it was never designed to be. And we've all met Christians who have allowed these things into their hearts. And for these people, they need understanding, they need patience, they need love, they need compassion, they need mercy. We have to try to loosen things up. But more importantly is when we see them within ourselves. These are dangerous emotions that can lead us to do terrible things. And we see it throughout the scriptures. When people become frustrated, look at King Saul becoming frustrated with David and trying to kill him and trying to destroy him and just problem after problem until finally Saul is put to death. But that never should have happened. Saul should have bowed to God's will. He failed. He should have acknowledged his two failures. When he tried to offer the burnt offering, what a terrible, foolish thing that he did. But he didn't interject anything that could maintain that. He didn't show any signs of repentance. And when God told him to go fight with the Amalekites and he once again did wrong, you know, if you and I had been in that situation, we would have said, Father, I have failed you miserably. And if you want David in there, I'm willing to step back. I'm willing to step down. And that's what should have happened. Now, on the other hand, as you look at this, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy. Brethren, this is friction in the church. This is friction in the home. It's friction in the nation. And what's causing it? It's because emotions that should be lubricating and causing people to be able to get along with each other, causing peacemakers and those people who are willing to turn the other cheek and going the second mile, but then we have this other side. And the decision that you and I have to make, if we see any of these things in our heart, we need to understand something. These things are not going to end well. You leave them in there, sooner or later, something's going to happen that you didn't intend to happen. You're at the wrong place, at the wrong time, you said the wrong thing, and suddenly everything blew up. And now we've got a big problem. Romans 1, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Brethren, these are souls. And these souls are like engines. Engines that are laboring because there's not enough oil or there's not enough water. It's overheating. It's getting friction. It's about to tear itself apart. And so these people, and maybe we're one of them, maybe we're just baby stepped into it. But these are things that we have to be aware of, because if you don't maintain them, if you don't ask for forgiveness, if you don't sow to the Spirit, if you don't try to conquer and remove these things, we're not going to like the kind of people we're going to become. And God's not going to like the people that we allowed ourselves to become. And so these are things that, as you know, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul continues by saying, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Romans 1:28 is when those whom God has given up and they have filled their hearts with these things. But that's not all of it. A morbid interest in controversial questions, disputes about words, out of which arise envy and strife and abusive language, evil suspicions and constant friction between men of depraved mind. Doesn't that sound like the political realm today? If you turn on the news, there just seems to be a morbid interest in controversial questions. They ask the Supreme Court justice, what's a woman? And she says, I don't know. Well, why did they even bring that up? Well, they brought it up because we have a morbid interest in gender right now. What's a man? What's a woman? What's a boy? What's a girl? Who can decide what we are? And you're listening to this and you're just, I don't know, your head wants to explode. You're just, what is the matter with people? Well, what's happening is the souls of these people are heating up. And as it's heating up, we have a cancel culture where if you take a stand against them, you're going to get piled on, you're going to get killed, you're going to get imprisoned. What's happening? And in the midst of all this, we have to thread our way, and we can't allow these things to get us so angry, because it makes me angry. I feel like Lot sometimes. I have to just turn the news off sometimes. I can't stand it anymore. I just think to myself, what is happening here? How can this be? Well, I've got to keep myself. I can't fret because of evildoers. I've got a job to do. You've got a job to do. I have a soul to save, and I have other souls to save, and so do you. We were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Well, we see this all around us. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." How in the world can we bring peace into this? Well, if we're still in the image of God, because God looks down and sees all of this, and he has sent down, just like in the material realm, when God knew, because God could see forward, he knew someday we were going to try to make an engine. He knew someday that we were going to try to take dominion over sound, over distance, over hot and cold. And so he gave us the chemicals, and he gave us the physics so we could make all of these wonderful things that we call technology, all of these appliances. He put it all here so we could take dominion, and we could subdue the earth, and we could do these things. Well, he's done the same thing for us in the spiritual realm. God knew that there would be these times. Matter of fact, some of the things we just read are prophecies. This is what's going to happen. There will be men who do these things and women who do these things. So how do we get through this without becoming like them? And how do we get through this maintaining our soul and our spirit? First of all, so that evil companionship can't corrupt us. And maybe much just as importantly, so that evil companionship won't discourage us and cause us to become a people we don't want to be. You know, we've all got caught up in this from time to time. We start to get involved in their arguing and in their bitterness and their frustration. And we think about speaking evil of our rulers, and we think about doing things. God says, pull your chain back here. You need to have more compassion. What does compassion mean? It means that you can feel with and understand this person has a problem, but you know something? Before I became a Christian, I know exactly. And so I can be forgiving, and I can be compassionate, and I can be forbearing. Mercy and love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't allow friction. It can't be provoked. It can't get angry. Sympathy and compromise. Well, compromise, is that a good word or a bad word? Well, it depends on what we're talking about. When it's the truth, we don't compromise. Paul said, I become all things to all men. What does that mean? It means I'm ready to compromise on anything else but the truth. If I can do anything to get close enough to someone to preach the gospel to them, I'm going to do it. So these are things that all of us need to consider. Jesus came into the world to resolve these things. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus will give us lubrication where we need lubrication. He will give us traction where we need traction. He will create in our soul what we have in a car. The engineers have figured it out. They know what kind of materials to make the tires out of and the brakes out of to give us friction and traction. They know how to put fluids into the transmission, into the power steering pump. They know how to put it in the engine. They know how to put fluids into the radiator to keep it cool. They know how to make fuel. Do we? In the spiritual realm? Obedience to the gospel gives the lubrication and soothing where it needs to be. We may not even be able to remember back that far, but I know we're a lot happier people than we were before we became a Christian, and we were before we grew to the point where we know how to handle these things. We know when it's time to turn them off. We know when it's time to shut them down. We know when it's time to accentuate them. We know when it's time to fill up. We know when it's time to change the oil or whatever it might be in the spiritual realm. And so, put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man has a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, or the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, as you go through those things, how many of them have we maintained? How many of them are we accentuating? How many of them is, you know, when you take your car and you say, I think there's a problem with this, or I think there's a problem with that. When you take your soul in, what do you think? Is there a problem with compassion? Are you a compassionate person? Or are you somebody who just flushes people, who just says, I'm not going to have anything more to do with this person, or I'm going to back away, I'm not going to be involved with this anymore. No, compassion, kindness. We're only here for a little while. And there, but God, for God's grace, we might have gone. We might have been that person. If we'd have had to go through their circumstances, if we'd have been born in their body with their problems and their struggles, we need compassion and kindness and humility. We're not better than people. We're not better than anyone else. We're just forgiven. We're just a people that have submitted to God, and we're receiving the benefits of it. Forbearing and forgiving and long-suffering and meek. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. So once again, we're dealing with emotions, friction, traction, lubrication, cooling, fuel. All of these things are very important. In the image of God, we need zeal. We need godly sorrow. When we sin, do you see the traction that Paul talks about when he talks about godly sorrow? What clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what zeal. In all these ways, you proved yourself to be approved. Once they felt the godly sorrow, the traction took over, and they knew exactly what they needed to do. They needed to repent, they needed to confess, and they needed to go back and fix whatever it is that they had done. It wasn't the time to compromise. It wasn't the time to hide. It wasn't the time to do things that were just going to create the problem bigger and bigger. So godly sorrow and repentance, godly fear and love for the truth, devotion, godliness. These are things that lead us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, to have zeal, to be stable and strong. And so we need a proper spiritual maintenance. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. There is the traction we need, the lubrication we need. There is the cooling that we need, and the fuel that we need, and everything we need to maintain our soul. We all know when it's time to change the oil in the car. We all know when it's time to have the battery looked at. We can hear something's going on. We know when the fuel gauge gets to a certain point, I better get some gas. I mean, we maintain the car, and we have an instrument panel with all kinds of lights and things to tell us, here's what you need to do. And when all else fails, it says check engine. When that check engine light goes on, you better stop. Well, do we have anything like that in the spiritual realm? We could. It's in the scriptures. It's just whether or not you and I are monitoring, maintaining, looking at. As you hear sermons, you know, this is something I better check on. That's a check engine light. What I just heard tells me that I'm headed for disaster if I don't make some changes. Because when God's word is preached, it's like James said, you're like a man who sees himself in the mirror. I got things to fix. Then straightway forgets what kind of person he was. And we're all like that. We hear a sermon. We make all these wonderful commitments to ourselves. And then 2 weeks later, we say, what was it I made a commitment about? And when that happens, we're setting ourselves up for some serious problems. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So what we're looking at here is God's gifts to our soul. Some we still have, some we've marred, some maybe we've seared. You know, you can sear your conscience. Or you can live in all good conscience. You can sow to the flesh and reap corruption. You can sow to the spirit and reap eternal life. This is a daily process. It's not just in the past. It's in the present. And whatever we've done in the past, we can fix it. That's the beauty of the gospel. The gospel has the power. Now, if I have sown to the flesh and I reap corruption, I'm going to have to work a lot harder, but that doesn't mean I can't get to heaven. As soon as I recognize it, I start the maintenance process. I start rebuilding. I start pulling out and putting in and doing the things that are necessary. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Now we don't have to wonder who's saying this and what he's talking about, because Paul quotes this psalm and says this is what David said. David's talking about what he did with Bathsheba and with Uriah, dragging Joab into it. Joab became his executioner. He writes a letter to Joab and says, put this guy in the heat of the battle and then pull back so that he's killed. David did some things that you'd think, how could that ever happen? Well, it could happen because there were things going on in David's life. He let things slip. And now look, instead of fixing it, he kept silent. Until Nathan came and the baby was just about to be born, David sat in this for 9 months or a little less. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me. He could have died in his sin. He could have seared himself so badly that he would have never come back. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you. He didn't wait too long. And my iniquity I've not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And here comes the lubrication. The bones that grow old, the heavy hand, the vitality. Now verse 5, you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. So we have what we need in the scriptures. But we have what we need in the store for our car. But sometimes through inattention or through lack of care and concern, we let things get out of hand. And the same thing can be true in the spiritual realm. And so I've always found these two passages fascinating. It's the same concept. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. But then what? The traction that led the people in Acts 2 to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins led these people to gnash at him with their teeth, drag him out of the city, and stone him with stones. What happened? Well, the Jews in Acts 2 had been maintaining their hearts. They had been watching over things. And when they were hit in the eye with the truth, they repented. These people, when they were hit with the truth, exploded into violence, exploded into actions, terrible, terrible actions. So every sermon's like that, brethren. Every sermon is a sermon designed to create friction, traction, give you abilities to move ahead, put a little sand under your feet where you're on the slippery slope, put a little opportunity there to put on the brakes, or lubrication. It's an opportunity for us to throttle back a little bit, for us to calm down and soothe down and take our emotions that we see are creating problems for us. Start bringing them under control. If you don't maintain your soul, well, let's go back to our parable. If you don't maintain your car, you're going to pay the mechanic now or you're going to pay a whole lot more later. And if you don't maintain your soul, you're going to pay a lot more later than you are to listen to the great physician now and help him to, or let him, allow him to help you. So our good decisions are like adding oil. But our rebellion is like putting sand in the engine, like putting sand in your soul. The emotions of submission, contrition, repentance, confession, and forgiveness soothe and calm. But guilt and wrath and rebellion and bitterness, they just compound the problem and make life more and more difficult for us. And so we stand on a precipice right now. I really don't know what's going to happen in the future. God could just pull back and everything may go back to the way it was. I don't have the wisdom to see how that could happen at this point. Where we've gone, it seems to me like we've crossed our Rubicon a long time ago. But we don't know. But I know this. We've got to thread this. We've got to do what Job did. Job got thrown into situations where there was so much friction that most people would have imploded. As a matter of fact, that was Satan's design, and he would have been right probably in 99 out of 100 people. But God said, not Job. Job prepared his heart. He had lubrication where he needed it. He was able to take the loss of his possessions, the loss of his family, the loss of his health, the loss of his wife's support. And he was able to take that in stride. It didn't knock him down. He had enough traction, but he had enough lubrication to get through that. Our faith and submission, they're going to lead us to peace and harmony in our relationship with God. And maybe that's the most important thing if we want to talk about in this sermon, is when we think about God, is it guilt? Or is it joy and peace? Is it a sense of gratitude and appreciation or fear? As we think about eternity, is it hope and expectation and desire? Or is it discouragement and bitterness and a sense of loss? So what do we think? Need to make any changes? Are we maintaining? Are we growing? Are we lubricating where we need to be lubricated and getting more and more lubrication? Are we getting traction where we need traction and getting more and more traction? These are important questions. Questions that will determine where we spend eternity. Questions that will determine what kind of help we can be to our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our family, our congregations, our nation, our workplace. Dangerous world out there. A soft answer can turn away much wrath. I marvel sometimes at what people get themselves into if they just kept their mouth closed and had hands in their pockets. They'd still be alive. But they got mad. And they did something that they knew they shouldn't do. And the person there was ready to jump and did and destroyed them. And so, brothers, as we pick up our song of encouragement this evening, I hope this lesson's been helpful to you. I like to preach it from time to time just to kind of give us a little different perspective of what we're doing with the gospel. Because we're like a car. And all of the elements in a car were designed by God to make that car maintained and functioning for many, many years. And God gave us a soul. And he gave us the same elements, and we need to use them. And so as we sing the song of encouragement this evening, if there's anyone in the audience who sees some problems, sees some needs for maintenance, maybe you're not as much traction as you should have, maybe there's not enough zeal, maybe on the other hand, there's too much bitterness and anger. As we sing the song of encouragement, if there's anyone here in the audience who recognizes a need to publicly confess or to obey the gospel, we'd like to invite you right now to come while we together stand and sing.